Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com. We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. This is episode number 53. Later in the show, we will be joined by Jacqueline Glenn from YouTube. She's gotten a lot of attention recently. She's even got Richard Dawkins as a fan of hers, so should be interesting to have a nice chat with her. And we talked to her on the Secular FM Streamathon. We were filling in on that portion, and yeah, she's pretty cool, so looking forward to that interview. Anyway, I am Dustin, and joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello.
How's it going, Wesley?
It's going all right. So, my weekend, met up with Luke, a friend of mine, and local, and listens to the show even. Went down to Dorky's, the arcade, in Tacoma, and had a blast with a bunch of people. Good times, I'll tell you what.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the dog here.
You get a, oh goodness. Yeah. It's almost cute. It's cute for a rat.
And I am drinking Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm about to be drinking a organic soda, which is the Orange Cream Special. Yeah. Hummingbird Hill for those anti-GMO freaks in all of us.
Nice. So, with the changes for the feeds that we talked about last time, we went ahead and made the decision to go ahead and keep the full archives available in all feeds, as opposed to making that a premium feature. That'll make it easier for people to be able to search for us, and especially if they're searching for a particular episode or guest and still be able to find that. It ended up costing us a decent amount of money to get those archived episodes imported into Libsyn so that they're all available on the new feed, but it was worth it. It was a couple months worth of podcast income, but worth it. And
Definitely. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of people that are coming back just to hear, you know, old episodes that, you know, they just found out about somebody and they found the show. So yeah, got a few people that like, hey, yeah, really appreciate it. You know, freaking Teresa McBain. She was number two, number three.
Yeah. Horrible quality before we knew what we were doing.
Completely. It sucks.
Yeah.
At least we have, the show still sucks, but at least we have good quality now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's all good.
Yeah. Well, iTunes has gotten updated already, and I will be putting in the RSS redirect for everybody else about a week after release of this episode. I have also updated Stitcher, and we are now in the BlackBerry store.
I was surprised to hear that's still a thing, but hey.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. Anyway, if you don't hear another episode after this one by July 1st, resubscribe, go to the website, get the new feed address and resubscribe, but it should work seamlessly for everyone. There just is that chance that a few people will drop it, will get dropped. And we don't want situations to happen like did for the first person we got feedback for. So I'll go ahead and play that now.
Hey, this is Ben from Iowa City. I started listening to you guys back when you first started on a hand-me-down iPod that was really a piece of crap, and after it broke and I didn't use iTunes anymore, I started to use Stitcher, so I didn't have the ability to listen to the show. But every few months I'd search and see if you guys got on there. Well, this last time I see you are now on Stitcher, and I'm super excited to be able to catch up on a crap ton of episodes.
Fucking A.
This ended up sounding more meandering than I thought it was going to.
Well, Ben, we're very happy that you found us again, man.
Yes. One thing I do want to say, and I've said this once or twice before and put it in the how to listen to us section as well on the website. If you've got some service you're using to listen to podcasts and we aren't there, that's probably because we don't know about it. So let us know and we'll figure out how to get ourselves listed on there.
Yep.
Because we want to make it as easy as we can for you to listen to us.
Yeah, we are whores. We will do whatever it takes to help you listen to us. I am a whore in that vein. Right.
Yes.
Anyways,
All right. Moving along, we got an email from Goran from Sweden. And just out of some curiosity, I pulled up these stats again. Sweden is actually the country we are the fifth most popular in terms of just total number of downloads.
Sweet.
They are the top country that is not a native English-speaking country.
Wow. Okay.
Then looking at it a little bit deeper, trying to see where are we the most popular per capita, I was surprised to see it's New Zealand.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shortly followed by the U.S. and Norway.
Okay, so New Zealand. I don't think we've ever gotten an email or anything from any of y'all. Come on, send some pictures. I want to see some areas down there that are like really pretty. And yeah, I don't care where you're at. I want to see some pictures. Please share some.
Show
me where you live. Show me the pretty stuff. I would love that. All this high res glory. I don't care. Send it.
Yeah. Anyway, to the email from Goran. Let me pull that up. Hi, guys. Here are some random ramblings from a listener in Sweden. Interesting talk about Unitarianism. I'd never come across them in my home country of Sweden. I wouldn't consider it atheism, but who cares? They seem to be a nice group of people. Yeah, for the record, they are not an explicitly atheistic group, nor are they an explicitly theistic group. They are whoever you are, whatever you believe, come drink coffee type of group. back to his email. My situation is a bit different. When I was born in 1966, everyone by default became a member of the Swedish State Church. Obviously, there must have been a way for children with parents of a different persuasion to avoid this, but I didn't know how that worked. Anyway, I know that I was baptized since I have a silver spoon given to me at that occasion to prove it. After this, I didn't have a lot of religion-related memories. I don't know if any of my grandparents were religious, but I do remember that they went to church early on Christmas Day, but that was once a year thing, and I think they stopped doing it in the late 70s. It might have been a cultural remnant more than any expression of religiosity. My parents never go to church, and I'm pretty sure that my dad is an atheist. My mom is sort of a dark horse, probably an agnostic, but I don't really know. The point is that we never even mentioned religion when I grew up. My sisters and my brother are definitely atheists, as are all my friends and almost everybody else I know. During the late 70s, we had frequent visits from Mormons in the suburbs where I lived. These were clean-cut young American men in costume that were always very polite and spoke surprisingly good Swedish. Nobody ever let them in, as far as I know. Sometimes we were visited by Jehovah's Witnesses, but they seemed happy just to give us a small pamphlet. I do remember a strikingly beautiful girl that was probably used as bait. I could have let her in, but she was accompanied by a severe-looking older woman, so I chose not to. Anyway, my next big religious experience after my baptism was my confirmation when I was around 15 years old. It was totally up to me if I did it or not, but if I didn't, I wouldn't get any confirmation gifts. This was a bit unfair since at least one of my friends got gifts even if he chose not to be confirmed, which he didn't. But I did get a nice watch, a gold necklace, and some other stuff from family and relatives. The whole thing was a bit absurd. We had to sit and listen to a priest, or whatever the Lutheran equivalent is called, a few times, and then we had to attend Mass 10 times. We even had a little paper card that had to be filled out by the priest after Mass to prove that we had been in attendance. Anyway, I've always liked churches from an architectural standpoint, so I visited 10 different churches to get some variety. Anyway, I was confirmed and got a Bible for my troubles. It was an abridged version with pictures and probably most of the good stuff edited out. I'm not really sure since I never read it and have lost it since. After this, some 30 years have passed and I've been to church a few times, some baptisms, a few weddings, and a few funerals, but that's about it. Oh yes, I left the church some years ago since it lowered my taxes a few fractions of a percent. It is sometimes difficult for me to understand how someone raised in a religious society like the U.S. relates to atheism. I have never felt the need to join an atheist group since my friends, relatives, and colleagues are all atheists. I know we have one Christian guy at work, but religion is never mentioned. The funny thing is, I really like churches, as well as abbeys, monasteries, temples, shrines, and the like. Every time I go on vacation, I try to find a new cathedral or something similar. I don't, however, believe that I'm driven by any spiritual need. Anything old or grand enough is interesting. As a rule of thumb, anything after 1600 CE is usually of small interest. Secondary, I feel the same thing for old castles or any other really old building. By the way, my favorite building ever is the Pantheon in Rome, a temple built by Hadrian to celebrate all gods and thereafter converted by the Christians to worship only one. Well, that's Christianity for you. But back on topic, one thing that struck me when listening to your episode is how different it must be for someone raised in a religious tradition to hear, for example, that atheists will burn in hell compared to what my reaction would be. Even if the person is now a non-believer, there might always be some remnant of doubt that I never had. Since I don't believe anything said by a preacher, I prefer the sermon to include a lot of hellfire and damnation, throw in Armageddon, conversion of all Jews, and I usually find it very entertaining. We don't have so much of it here, I think. But there are a couple of American preachers that can compete with the best of stand-up comedians for entertainment value, but I guess they get funnier from a distance. Well, rambling is ended. Regards.
Yeah, I'll totally agree. You know, when somebody rides with me along, we're taking a drive, and I see a really pretty church, I'm like, hey, that's a really pretty building. I like that. And they're always surprised because they're like, oh, you know, they think I'm going to hate it for some reason. Architecture's architecture. I mean, some beautiful fucking shit out there.
Yeah. No, I usually say that the last time I attended church was the last time I preached, but that's not completely accurate. About a week later, I was in Merida, also in the Yucatan, and they have in that city the oldest cathedral in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to see it. I wanted to check out that place. Unfortunately, the only way to get in was during Mass. So I sat through a Spanish language Mass just so I could get a look around the cathedral, and it was well worth it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm so happy that you live in a place that you don't really have to even think about it. Here, it's a little bit different, at least it is to me, to my mind. So, yeah. Man, I totally envy you on that point, Gorn.
Yeah, when I lived in the Seattle area, yeah. I didn't bother joining any atheist groups because I didn't really see any overt religiosity around me. I didn't feel isolated. I didn't really feel a need to.
Yeah.
When you look at the overall national scene, it's a much different situation, though. But it was a post-religious society is one where the atheist movement would be unnecessary. And that is something that I am really looking forward to.
Definitely. You know, I'm part of a skeptics and an atheist group in my local area. They turn out to pretty much be the same group of people. But, yeah, I think that skeptics groups, pro-science groups are always a plus. But, yeah, I hope, you know, it's... I can't wait for a time when atheist groups aren't needed in those outlying areas, kind of like where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's just a majority red, but they're all still pretty nice people.
Yeah. And on the topic of...
It's no Louisiana.
And then to the topic on how different it is to hear about burning in hell. In my case, being raised Adventist, we didn't believe in hell. I have never had a concept of an eternal soul or a separate entity that is your soul or eternal damnation. So the whole concept is still very foreign to me and very appalling. And so my response to that probably isn't any different than yours. It's ranges from disturbing to hilarious.
Yeah, I was raised with it. They loved it. That was something they would hold over our heads all the time. Yeah, not cool. Not cool.
Does it ever pull up any twinge in you?
No, of fear, no. What it brings up in me is anger that other people have been tortured with that. I know that it really bothered my mom, you know, especially after I told her that I was an atheist.
Yeah.
She actually had a lot of fear about me going to hell. Honestly, for the way that she treated me for most of my life, she had a lot of fear about her going to hell, too. Which,
damn.
For a long time, I had some issues with that. But, overall, she was a nice lady, I suppose.
Now, moving on to the hellfire and brimstone preaching, that can be very entertaining. It can also be just very frustrating. If you do find that entertaining, though, I do encourage you to check out an Adventist evangelistic series. Because it's not hellfire and brimstone, it's the time of trouble. It's global conspiracies and, you know, the Catholic Church taking over governments. Well, not necessarily taking over, but colluding with governments to enact national Sunday laws and persecution. And then all the righteous are fleeing to the mountains and the wilderness to hide from the authorities who are going to hunt them down. And it's the mark of the beast. And
oh, goodness.
It is just as... If you believe it's true, that is just as terrifying as hellfire and brimstone.
Great. So what you're saying is you get to spend a couple hours with Mel Gibson. Just fucking crazy conspiracy theory shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, or Alex Jones. That's probably better. Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Adventists loved the Cold War because it created this amazingly perfect good versus evil to kind of frame everything around. And the whole world really under the thumb of two world powers. And it was just the perfect setup for their ramblings. And, well, then the Cold War ended, and they had to try to find creative new ways to do it. But I'm sure
maybe that's with the World War II, you know, having the Axis powers. Maybe mm-hmm. that's why they had such a big love of the Axis of Evil during the last few years.
Yeah. But yeah, a good Adventist Time of Trouble. Oh, man, check it out. All right, we've got more feedback, so picking up the pace here a little bit.
Holy crap.
Yeah, this has been awesome. Jason on Twitter tweeted, "At Atheist Nomads, the girlfriend is awesome. I think Dustin should be careful or he'd lose his job."
I favorited that one. Yeah.
We had a little bit of back and forth because I was... Okay, I definitely agree that my girlfriend is awesome. I would love to get her on the show more. She seemed to be quite the natural compared to how either Wesley or I was when we first got it started on podcasts. And but as far as the being careful about losing my job, I wasn't quite sure what direction to take with that, because I work for an organization that is owned by organizations that are owned by organizations that are owned by the Catholic Church.
Good God, man.
And so I was worried he might be going that direction. But no, he was just talking about her replacing me on the show. but on the note of working for Catholic-owned organizations, I have a couple of filters set up in my two inboxes. Yes, I have two different email accounts at work set up to delete the daily prayer and the, I think, roughly weekly blessing on the other side. Yeah. They always have other stuff included in those emails, but none of it's stuff I care about. At the point that they start putting daily prayers and IT announcements, so then I might, yeah. Anyway, and then the last feedback we got was from Richard on Facebook. I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but Charles Harrelson was 68 years old at the time of his death. He was under 4 months shy of his 69th birthday. Wikipedia does a better job with facts than the History Channel.
All right, I'm just going to say this once. You're a dick. Sorry. yeah, totally. I appreciate you calling me out, man. yeah, you found my usual source for news, so good on you.
Well, we link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, this is true, but how many of you assholes read it? Get over there. All right.
And yes, if we say something that's wrong, let us know.
Yeah, especially when Dustin does it.
yeah. Anyway, if you've got a contact for us, you can always email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, or you can call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. You can also comment on the website with the show notes, on Facebook, or tweet us at Atheist Nomads. As always, we want to thank our supporters. We actually lost a few in this last go-round. Yeah, and we have expenses with projects we're working on. We just spent a lot of money on importing the archives, and the next big expense is going to be getting our apps developed and submitted into the stores, the various app stores and the Google Play Store and the like. It's going to cost us a bit of money, so if you want to help us out... go to the website.
Spread the good word.
Spread the good word. Yeah. And we do want to thank everybody that helped us out. You guys are amazing. We couldn't keep doing this as awesomely without you, or even keep doing it at all. Yeah. And with that, it's time for This Day in History.
This Day in History, June 12th, 1939, the Baseball Hall of Fame officially opens. The building, that is. Yeah. So... that's really all I got on it. Just wanted to mention it because some people like sports.
Yay, sports ball. Go team. Score points.
Do the sports. Win the points. Okay. Anyways, so moving on along.
Damn, this beer is good.
Your Baptist beer. That's funny.
Big Bad Baptist. Imperial Stout. Stout with coca nibs and coffee added and aged in whiskey barrels.
Okay, that actually sounds really good.
Epic Brewing's Exponential Series.
Epic. Where are they out of?
They are Salt Lake City.
Huh. I'll be damned.
Yeah. Release number 24, 10.5% alcohol by volume.
Nice. I like it already.
Yeah. Utah does have some good beers. They just can't serve it on tap.
Can you taste the coffee and cocoa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, it is amazing. I'm still working through the 30 beers for 30 years for my birthday. I've been saving the good ones. And Big Bad Baptist, that just seemed to be perfect for the show. Big Bad Baptist from Utah.
Yeah, that's an oddity right there. Mm-hmm. But okay. Oh, boy. This day in history, 1963, Medgar Evers is assassinated. It's a new generation. You might not have even heard of this gent, which is too bad. So let's see. On the driveway outside of his home in Jackson, Mississippi, the African-American civil rights leader Medgar Evers is shot to death by a white supremacist, Baron de la Beckwith. Asshole. Turns out during World War II, Evers actually volunteered for the U.S. Army, even participated in the Normandy invasion, which tons of people didn't come back from. Fuck a duck. Good for him. But 1952, he joined the NAACP, and as one of their guys, he was just really important going around his home state encouraging poor black people to register to vote and recruiting them into the civil rights movement. Also very instrumental in getting witnesses and evidence for the Emmett Till murder case, which brought national attention to the plight of all black people down in the South. But yeah, man, after the funeral, he was buried with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. President John F. Kennedy and many other leaders publicly condemned the killing. So really good to see that, you know, he wasn't forgotten about by everybody that was trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But, 1964, the first trial for the suspect, we'll be nice about it, Brian de la Beckwith, ended with a deadlock by an all-white jury. There were numerous protests afterwards. The second all-white jury also failed to reach a decision, and Beckwith was actually set free. 3 decades later, the state of Mississippi reopened the case under pressure from civil rights leaders and Evers' family. In 1994, a racially mixed jury in Jackson found Beckwith guilty of murder. The unrepentant white supremacist, aged 73 at the time, was sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah.
Fuck a duck.
Yeah, and under some of the moves that Republicans have been trying to push in the last few years, he could have tried a sincerely held beliefs defense.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. Even those who think that sincerely held beliefs are a valid excuse for any kind of discriminatory behavior, it applies right here, too.
This day in history, 1975. Indira Gandhi, convicted of election fraud. Yeah, so Prime Minister of India, she was found guilty of electoral corruption in her successful 1971 campaign. Despite everybody, a lot of people saying that she should resign, she said fuck it and basically declared martial law in India, that big fucking heavily populated country. Wow. Yeah, so she actually came to political power in a kind of interesting way. She was the appointed as to an important post for the then Prime Minister La Bahadur Shastri, and he died. So she just kind of got appointed as leader. But a lot of people didn't like that. So after she won in 1967, by that little tiny bit, she came back in 71 and had that resounding re-election victory. You know, it's kind of interesting how that works out when you help cheat. But that year she ordered India's invasion of fucking Pakistan to help create Bangladesh, which won her even greater popularity. Go ahead. Yeah, let's invade a country and can get more popular.
That was a former part of their own country.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of think that we're past that kind of shit, or hope we would be.
Land grabs. Except for the U.S. invading Iraq and Russia taking Crimea.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. I mean, we're not trying to make it part of the Iraq. We're not trying to make it part of the U.S. We just want to make them eat McDonald's and steal their oil.
We do economic imperialism.
Yeah.
And Gandhi wasn't trying to get Pakistan, you know, force Pakistan to rejoin India, just trying to split Pakistan.
Yeah.
Because a weaker Pakistan would be less of an opposition to India.
Well, it doesn't take much to make a fucking nuke. Not anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so once she lost the elections, the Congress actually split and made another party in India called the Congress I Party, which the I standing for Indira. And in 78, she was actually briefly imprisoned for official corruption. But, you know, came back strong in 1980, and she actually won the prime minister seat again. And turns out, when you're a prime minister, you can have all those charges kind of dropped. So, yeah, wow. It's interesting how that shit works. So, three shouts hooray for Indira for cheating the system and scamming and coming back strong. Man, she sounds like a Republican, or just keeps on coming back like a fucking deer tick. Oh boy. Anyways, moving on along. Something from my childhood. I think we mentioned this a long time ago. This day in history, June 12th, 1987, Reagan challenges Gorbachev, bring down that wall. So, yeah, I was a little kid. I still remember this coming up with Gorbachev actually being in front of the wall in Berlin on the west side of the wall. You know, and there was tons of people, just, you know, just masses of people and trying to, you know, reunite Germany from the east and west sides. And man, crazy.
I don't remember that. My first international event, actually just anything outside of my hometown, I remember was the wall actually coming down.
Ah.
Because in 87, I was 3. Little young.
Yeah, that was... two years later in 89 that the wall did come down. I seem to recall David Hasselhoff being on the wall, like on top of it. It wouldn't surprise me, but I could be totally making that up. But
all I remember is that it came down, and because TV wasn't a 24-hour stream, they just pushed the rest of the shows back, and I got to stay up past my bedtime.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a show called Knight Rider. And I really liked it. And I liked the car because it had like artificial intelligence, and the car was named Kit. And it was really awesome. Just cool shit. And they went around solving mysteries and, you know, bad things happening to people. But anyways, yeah, I could swear David Hasselhoff was on top of that wall. Anyways, that's pretty much all I got for that.
This beer. Oh, it's time for science and technology. First off, we've got rocks. Yes, rocks are a very interesting thing. Anyway, in Hawaii, a research vessel captain, Captain Charles Moore, and Patricia Corakorin, who is the lead author in this study, took a look at these new rocks they found. These are plastiglomerate, a combination of plastic, wood, shells, rocks, sand, just a whole bunch of stuff. And they kind of suspect that this is being caused from campfires melting plastic that's already on the beach. Because as it comes down to it, all of the plastic we have manufactured since 1950 still exists. It may have been recycled, but it's still there, and it will take thousands of years to break down. Researchers, they then went on to search another 21 additional sites, and they found plastiglomerate at all of them. And they think that it likely exists all around the world. Of course, burning garbage is frowned upon, for numerous reasons. The, most obvious one is that there's a lot of pollutants in it that gets released when you burn garbage. But other factors, especially in campfires, is that if it's food-related waste, you're going to have the smells of the food being released out into the environment, and after you go to bed, small little critters might come and try to eat that food and burn their mouths, or just straight up eat the trash. With this happening, the plastiglomerate gets pulled off the beach and into the ocean. It's more dense than pretty much, well, most other things, so it sinks to the bottom, and it's going to get buried into the sediment. This will make it a permanent part of the fossil record.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So we're going to have people, hopefully there's still people thousands of years from now finding all this shit.
Millions of years from now. The intelligent birds or rats or whatever is the dominant intelligent species. Or if you go Doctor Who-ish on it, maybe intelligent trees with cleavage.
Ow.
They may be looking at this and mark the presence of plastic agglomerate in the fossil record as the beginning of the Anthropocene, the geologic epoch of people. Well, people dominating.
And not dominating in the good way.
No.
Not dominating in, hey, this might sting a bit kind of way.
Well, the proper dominating would be consensual sexual with a submissive, not just ruling
again
over everything brutally. moving along, some researchers are looking into teleportation. And in this article on Mashable, I am so disappointed that their go-to on it was Harry Potter. Star Trek! Come on! Teleportation! That's Star Trek with the transporter. Anyway, they have managed to teleport a quantum bit of data from one electron to another several feet away. This is far different from anything that could possibly transport life or humans, but these qubits, quantum bits, they are, and where this has the best chance of making any kind of huge impacts is faster data transportation and faster computing. This is one step closer to quantum computing, not
so
transporters.
Is that qubit, is that the same qubit, or do you think it's a clone of the qubit?
That I don't know.
I think that's the fun question to answer.
But as far as bits, does it really matter?
I don't know. I mean, like, if you think about a teleporter, if you went through it, are you the same you, or are you a clone? And if so, should you have the same rights?
From the standpoint of the original you being disassembled and then reassembled on the other side, evolution in Hawaii has, in a very rapid amount of time, resulted in convergent evolution in two separate populations of crickets. These crickets have probably brought in from elsewhere in Oceania, have been interacting with a parasitic fly that is probably came from North America, that would lay its eggs inside of the cricket. The eggs would then hatch and eat the cricket and force themselves out of the body. They were tracking down these crickets by sound. And on two separate islands, two distinct populations of these crickets, they have created genetically very different but physiologically identical changes, or at least nearly identical changes, in wing structure to silence them.
Nice.
Yeah. The traditional way that field crickets chirp is they scrape their wings across each other, and the vein structures on them make vibrations that create these sounds. And they have now made it, and this is also to lure in females for reproduction. But if that sound attracts a parasite that kills you, you can't very well reproduce. So the quiet ones, while maybe less efficient at reproduction, are more efficient at surviving to reproduce, and in just over 20 generations have made visible changes and audible changes.
Well, the quiet one might not get laid as much, but, you know, he has a lot more time to try.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, this might be similar to the nice guy versus the bad boy. The nice guy might not get laid as much as the bad boy, but he's more likely to find a nice, happy, loving relationship.
Aw, you know, cricket sex. Yeah, I wouldn't mind crickets if it wasn't that for that fucking noise.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice camping, but it sucks when you're at home.
I've had a cricket in my house once or twice, and it's fucking torture.
Ooh.
Just picking shit up. You're like looking around. You just like pause like ninja. You're waiting for it. Crick, crick, crick. You're like, all right, it's over there.
And then you catch it and go fishing.
That's a bug that deserves to die when it's in your house.
Oh. All right, moving along. Gallup has done a new poll on American beliefs, and the one that's of more interest to me, where there's actual change happening, as opposed to the other one that's got a lot of attention over the atheist blogosphere, is one showing that 42% of all Americans believe in a creationist view of human origins.
And this is kind of why we do the show, Gorn.
Yeah. Yes. This poll has been tracking this particular belief since 1982. In 1982, the percent of people that believe that God created humans in their present form was 44%. Now it's 42%. 38% believed humans evolved under God's guidance. Now it's only 31%. And 9% believed that humans evolved without any intervention from God. Now it's 19%. Looking at the graph, there is consistent growth in the belief that humans evolved without God's involvement. There is a at least statistical flat line on the belief that humans evolved, or that humans did not evolve. And the viewpoint that is dropping is that humans evolved with God's guidance.
Yeah, my couple thoughts. I mean, it's good to see a couple points down in the hardcore belief. That's pretty much just going to have to wait until people die mm-hmm. for a lot of those people to change their minds. But I'm really glad to see the wishy-washy middle of the road. Oh, there's the guiding hand of God helped with all this. That's the one I'm glad to see drop.
Well, looking at it at more specifically, when you break it down into various other categories, as far as people that attended church weekly, 69% believe that God created humans in their present form within the last 10,000 years. Only 1% believe that humans evolved without any divine intervention. As far as those who attended church nearly weekly or monthly, it's a much closer to even split between theistic evolution and special creation. At 39% for theistic evolution, 47% for special creation, 9% for naturalistic evolution. When you get to seldom or never attending church, the most popular view is naturalistic evolution at 34%, theistic evolution at 32%, and special creation at 23%. So you've got that 23% that are either ignorant or just not going to church, but still being firm believers. But a relatively even split between, and granted, an even split of no statistical relevance, a 2% difference is far within the margin of error of people who are either atheist or really, really close, and people that are more in that spiritual but not religious, that there was some kind of a divine essence helping, you know, that we are the end goal that the universe had.
Yeah, fucking hippies.
When you look at it as far as education goes, less than high school, 57% believe in special creation, 3% in theistic evolution, and 10% in naturalistic evolution. There is no majority by the time you get to a high school graduate, with all of the numbers getting into the double digits. By the time you get to college graduate, you have an even tie between theistic evolution and special creation at 27% each, and naturalistic evolution at 41%.
That's better, but I would have hoped it would have been higher.
Yeah, yeah. It's the cognitive dissonance of, you know, evolution is true, but you also want to keep believing in God. So you try to work out these ways to make it happen.
Special pleading.
I would far rather see people accept theistic evolution than special creation, because at least they're buying into... They're not going to be fighting with science curriculum. And when you look at the age ranges, the beliefs in theistic evolution and naturalistic evolution drop as you get older, and the belief in special creation increases as you get older. So by the time we have the next couple generations die off, we will very much be in a position where belief in evolution is no longer just a majority position, but by far the dominant position. So that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Still sucks that 42% of all Americans are creationists. That really freaking sucks.
If I make it to like 2050, it should be a much better place, or at least a much more welcoming place for evolution.
But it's at least comforting that the majority of Americans are not creationists.
Yeah.
All right, moving along, a new use for stem cells, and these are naturally present stem cells, has been worked out for your teeth. A team of researchers used a low-power laser in the teeth of mice they'd already drilled holes in to cause a little protein switch that prompted stem cells to form dentin. Mm. It's the hard bone-like tissue that make up most of your tooth. They haven't bothered yet trying to figure out how to make that turn into enamel, but if you can at least reform the dentin, that could eliminate things like root canals.
That could be pretty damn cool.
Yeah. this is really amazing. They are really hoping to start getting human clinical trials started soon and shouldn't have any trouble with that because using lasers in medical or even just dental work is very common. It was in 2007 that I first had a laser used on me in any kind of dental work.
Hmm.
And it was to, I think, both to numb the tooth and then to fuse the filling. And it was pretty freaking awesome. That laser numbing was more effective than any Novocaine I've ever had. But man, being able to use our own dental stem cells to regrow parts of our teeth, that would be amazing.
I would love it. That'd be some pretty cool shit.
And finally, for science, we have a new report from the CDC showing that we have the highest number of measles cases in the U.S. through the month of May in any year since 1994.
Hooray, we're number one.
Yeah. You know, things like disease rates, you want those to keep going down, but no. But they have provided some pretty awesome damning evidence against the anti-vax movement. Quoting from Assistant Surgeon General Dr. Ann Schruchat, "The current increase in measles cases being driven by unvaccinated people, primarily U.S. residents who got measles in other countries, brought the virus back to the United States and spread it to others in communities where many people are not vaccinated. Cases like the Ohio Amish community that sent some missionaries to the Philippines, where there is a severe outbreak of measles, and they brought it back to a population of almost exclusively non-vaccinated people. This is like that Texas megachurch and the BC church where missionaries brought back measles to a population of unvaccinated people." And, oh, this just absolutely sucks to see this. But it's actually caused me to think about it a little bit. And we can't necessarily change people's minds on vaccination, but we can make life more difficult for them. And this would very much be a case for making it a requirement to get a passport to be current on all of your shots.
How about their driver's license? I mean, that lets them have a much larger range of what they could spread a disease to. Not nearly as many people have a passport.
Right. The thing with the passports, though, is these cases, most of these cases are being caused by people leaving the U.S., getting the measles, and bringing it back. Measles has been almost completely annihilated natively within the U.S., by vaccination. So if we just make it so that people can't reintroduce it back into the country by not allowing them to leave, we would greatly reduce the amount of measles being imported.
Yeah.
Now it's time for politics and religion. And we have an update on a case we already talked about. The Oregon faith healing couple who has been charged with manslaughter for the death of their 12-year-old daughter from easily treatable diabetes. And the judge has ruled on their request to have their faith-healing beliefs excluded from the trial. And the judge ruled that their beliefs constitute motive evidence.
Fucking A.
And that absent the evidence, their actions would appear, and I quote, "wanton and grossly reckless," in a manner that would prejudice the jury. So they were wanting to avoid having those beliefs brought up in court because it would prejudice the jury. The judge has said it would be even more prejudice the jury against them to not explain why they let their daughter fucking die.
Great. So they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
And I disagree a lot with some of the other rulings of this judge, like not allowing them to bring up other cases where they didn't get their daughter treatment or their other son that died already due to lack of medical care. But at the very least, saying that their beliefs in violation of Oregon state law caused the death of their daughter, that would allow the jury to take a look at it and think, wait a minute, not only did they kill their daughter, but they could very easily do the same to their other children.
I really hope this jury puts them down for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least to me, this is a good thing. I mean, yeah, the judge has been full of some fuck nuttery for a while, but oh boy. That's a start, because, I mean, church, I mean, that's the reason this is happening completely and utterly. So, fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they go down.
Yeah. Next, we have And you actually got to talk to these people on Ask an Atheist last week.
Oh, I sure did.
Virginia couple wanted to, after 6 years together, decided they wanted to get married. They're atheists, so they went to the courthouse and in Franklin County, Virginia, and the judge referred them to two court-appointed officiants.
They chose the wrong one first.
Yeah. So the first officiant they called was Bud Roth, and he said he wouldn't do it at the courthouse, but would instead do it at his church. Keep in mind, he was not an officiant on grounds of any kind of church ordination. He was court appointed. And then as they continue to talk, because neither of them believes in God, he declined to marry them.
In a not very nice way, either.
The bride talked to him, and that was when he said that he didn't think they have the right to marry because they don't know where God was. The groom then called and recorded confirmed
everything that Bud said.
Yeah.
And got it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him.
And the judge said, because she's an agnostic and you're an atheist, I will not marry you. You don't believe in God.
Dick.
I just won't marry anyone who does not believe in God or believes that there is a God someplace. So I'm not going to talk the issue over with you. I'm not going to argue about it. Okay. I'm just not going to marry you. Correct? And then he suggested they talk to the other court-appointed officiant.
Yeah, who Bud Roth never mentions by name. So I've had this feeling for a while that Bud, our friendly pastor, doesn't like the other officiant at all because he just won't name him.
Bud's not a pastor. Oh. If he was, he wouldn't be court-appointed to be an officiant. He would be an officiant by virtue of his ordination. He is a civil servant.
The judge actually said that the actual judge of the courthouse, he had two options. He has the religious officiant and then he has the secular officiant, which that shouldn't even be a thing because you go to just about any corner in Virginia, you're going to find a church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real need to go to the courthouse for a religious officiant.
Yeah. Everybody knows that if you want a religious officiant, you start calling churches.
Yeah.
You go to the church that most closely matches your denominational background and have them officiate. And if that's not going to work, you go to the courthouse to get a secular ceremony.
And or the cheap option. Shit. Just get it over and done with.
That has been the standard for a long time. And yet in this county, they felt it necessary that even though there's a church on the corner of every street, granted that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but felt it necessary to even then have two appointed officiants for court supervised weddings and have one of them still be religious and to explicitly only provide religious ceremonies. And yet they also thought that everybody was religious enough that they didn't need to bother warning people which one was which. Otherwise, when they'd called the courthouse to ask for names, they would have been told, oh, Roth does religious ceremonies, even though he's not a pastor. Oh, but this other guy, he does the civil ones. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I keep thinking about when I visited Kansas last year. I went down one city block, and looking on both the left and right-hand side of the street, there was five churches in one city block.
Wow.
I'm just putting it out there. Churches are fairly common. Mm-hmm. You can find a fucking church when you want to. What the fuck? I'm betting Bud Roth is just a buddy of the judge, and the judge is just helping him drum up some business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucker.
It's, man, this is, I think it's ridiculous enough in the first place that in, as far as I know, every state in the United States, that ministers, and in the example of the state of Idaho, explicitly in the statute, it states ministers of the gospel are ex officio government officials for that one function.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to execute government documents, marriage licenses, and that language that gets used in every wedding, by virtue of the power vested in me by the state of whatever, they are already ex officio government officials. And to then have actual appointed officials to do the same fucking thing is just ridiculous. And I hope they sue.
They haven't said anything about it yet.
I really hope this... Oh, goddamn.
But yeah, I talked to him on the phone with Sam and, you know, just really nice guys. Well, guy and girl. They were awesome. And we get discounts on tattoos, so just remember that you heard about his story and hey.
Yeah.
Tattoos and piercings.
All right. Next up, we have a case where, yeah, and this has been going on for a couple years. The Military Association of Atheists and Agnostics has been working on trying to get a fully qualified chaplain in the military. The determination they'd gotten from the Defense Department was if they could submit somebody that was fully qualified, awesome. Well, their next attempt was rejected because it was determined that no, somebody can't switch their endorsement from a religious group to the Humanist Association. And so that didn't happen. So now they got a former minister who holds a Master of Divinity from the Bright Divinity School, who had been licensed as a Christian minister, Jason Heap. He is now a secular humanist, and he applied to become a humanist chaplain in the United States Navy. He told the Los Angeles Times that he wished to provide philosophical and spiritual aid to both faithful and faithless service members. Quoting him directly, as both a humanist and a scholar of religion, I have a deep knowledge and understanding of world religions. My purpose and focus as a chaplain will be for holistic well-being and anyone who is in need of pastoral care. But he was rejected by the Navy. A spokesman for the Navy Chaplain Service told Fox News that due to the highly competitive nature of the board, less than 50% of the applicants could be recommended for a commission in the United States Navy. Now, I can tell you...
That doesn't sound highly competitive.
50% is... That's decently competitive.
One out of every two? I would not take those odds if I was... might get a deadly disease.
To provide what knowledge I have from 7 years ago when I was in the application process for the chaplain candidate program with the United States Army, the information I got was, the same 50%, and that priority got to underrepresented groups or unrepresented groups.
Really?
So Baptists and Catholics, they've got tons of chaplains. So they might only have a 25% acceptance rate.
But if you're like Baha'i or some shit like that, you should have a pretty good chance.
You should be guaranteed a spot if you are qualified.
Wow.
And by the same standpoint, if humanists can have chaplains, since there aren't any, and humanists make up a much larger percentage of the military than most religious segments that are already represented by chaplains, he should have gotten a spot. This was intentionally and explicitly discriminatory in that rejection.
Yeah, the military's a bunch of fuckers. It is a big old boys club.
Mm-hmm. And actually, a few years ago, I was in communication with Jason Tropy from the Military Association of Atheists and Agnostics about the work he was doing on getting humanist chaplains. And I actually got on his short list. Now, I would have had to go back to a seminary and finish my Master of Divinity, but I wasn't willing to take that risk, considering there was no precedent for getting accepted.
And let's be honest, pretty shitty pay.
Started out as a first lieutenant, not that bad. Even though a humanist in the chaplain corps would never advance. I had a professor in college who was a... Navy Reserve chaplain. He actually retired while I was taking classes from him. His retirement was because he ran out of jobs he could serve in. He was already the deputy director of chaplain services for the Navy, covering the reserve component. He was already a rear admiral.
But he was Seventh Day, yeah?
He was Seventh Day Adventist. And he'd been told, you're going to have to change endorsements to advance. Yeah, he didn't bother with that. Actually, at the same time... Chaplain Black was also Adventist and was the director of chaplain services for the U.S. Navy. And he'd also been told that he would need to change endorsements to keep advancing. He didn't, and he did continue to advance. But the fact that people told him he'd have a much better chance as an Episcopalian or a Baptist definitely lets you know there are some pretty serious discriminatory policies and practices within the whole military chaplain service.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, it's just fucking bullshit. And realistically, when you really look at it, being a officers are very much government officials, and enlisted people below them, even officers below them, have to follow what they say. And for them to discriminate on officers based on what religion they're in, that is in direct violation of the U.S. Constitution, saying that there can be no religious tests.
Yep, yep, yep.
All right, moving on, because that went pretty long.
That bit of a rant.
Yes, just had to get that out there. Young County in Texas, the Young County Commissioner's Court has decided they're going to go ahead and let 10 commandments be displayed at the north entry of the Young County Courthouse. The money's already in. It's being held through a funeral home, and they're going to pay for the mounting of it and anything needed for getting it all going. And what's actually really awesome here is that in their meeting, Judge John Bullock brought up, everyone be aware of the controversy that's going on in Oklahoma City. Talking about...
the Baphomet, for one.
Yep, the Satanic Temple monument they want to add.
Yeah, Lucian Greaves, the spokesman for the Satanists up there.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
Going down through this article, one of the people responding to his statement was, I believe that when we officially discussed this, that we discussed it as a non-religious context. That we are really setting up a monument based on the Judeo-Christian laws that form the country, and that it's more of an homage to the foundation of this country and the laws that they use at the time that reflect this country's values. So let them come.
They're going to be coming all over his face soon.
Yeah, because if you look at it, the laws that went into the founding of this country, it would be things like the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Common Law of England, the Magna Carta.
I forget which law it is that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I happen to recall a couple of things from the beginning of this country, like the Constitution, which has, there shall be no religious test for any kind of public office. There is the First Amendment, which says, the Congress shall not establish any religion. We've got the Treaty of Tripoli, which says, the United States was not in any way established on the Christian religion. So I'm kind of curious about how these Judeo-Christian laws formed this country. Ugh, God damn.
Anyways, yeah, fuck them.
Oh, however, when it comes to anything where Satanists are providing any usefulness, I think it is worthy of saying, Hail Satan. Anyway, moving to Utah, where this awesome beer I am drinking and actually have now drunk from, the... 10th District Federal Court of Appeals has ruled against an appeal by Kevin Hartshorn, a Christian minister who has been convicted of creating his church as an abusive tax shelter.
Finally.
Yeah.
Some church is busted.
There is have been a lot of cases like this. Actually, one of my dad's old friends started his own church to try to be a tax shelter, and I think he ended up in prison.
Wow.
This guy's just doing a similar type of thing. He created a church where every member is a minister. That's actually valid under Christian theology with the priesthood of all believers, and had them sign over all of their income and possessions to the church.
Well, to Hartshorn.
Taking vows of poverty. And so all of their income was going into the church, and then they got debit cards they could use for all of their expenses. And he advised them that as ministers, their households were church ministries. And wow. Therefore, everything they did was exempt from paying both state and federal taxes.
What a racket.
Yeah. The judges of the 10th District Court of Appeals wrote, taking the fact in the light most favorable to defendant, the district court concluded that Mr. Culkin's employment was with Kaiser Permanente. This is going with a specific example of somebody who worked for the Kaiser Permanente Hospital in Salt Lake. That his employment with Kaiser Permanente resulted in taxable income. The court accordingly concluded the defendant has made false or fraudulent statements when he told Mr. Calkins he was exempt from income tax regulations due to his relationship with the church. The court also concluded that defendant knew or should have known that the falsity of his statements, given the fact that similar tax avoidance theories have been consistently rejected by the Internal Revenue Service and federal courts. Finally, we have a case of where even the most friendly of religion can do horrible, horrible wrong. A church, the Metropolitan Community Church in Florida, that apparently is liberal enough to be welcoming in lesbian couples, had a sermon delivered by their minister, a woman. So, okay, that's two steps towards being a pretty liberal church. The sermon was about Abraham and his story about being willing to sacrifice his son because God told him to, and then being stopped by God at the last moment. Kimberly Don Lucas really took it to heart and decided to act out that story. Well, unfortunately, these weren't her own children. They were her partner's children. And she tried to kill the older child with trying to give him an overdose of anxiety medication. He took a nap, woke up, and wondered what the hell was going on. By this time, she'd already drowned his little sister, of only 2 years old.
Fuck.
And then she tried to kill herself, also unsuccessfully. And she's now in jail.
As well she should be.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
And it's very clear in this article that she was trying to kill her partner's, her former partner's children. That's definitely a relationship-ending offense. Murder? Yeah. Yeah. The suicide note is, well, pretty difficult to follow, but reading from it... In your words, when you are lying in bed at night, remember you fucking did this to yourself. Leah's sermon really, really touched me yesterday, but God never told me to stop. Hell is where we go through on earth. Enjoyed your life with possible go out with us. He managed, but give you finally what you want, because apparently over the past 20 years, I was not able to. Love you always, Kimberly.
Yeah. I mean, the angel stayed Abraham's hand at the last second. What the fuck?
Okay, a liberal church handling this kind of story would be just doing it as an example of responding to God asking you to sacrifice. The fact that people can take that sacrifice literal clearly demonstrates. Now, I am not saying that she was not severely disturbed, that she did not need psychological help, because clearly she did. But the fact that a sermon trying to allegorize the story of Abraham still drove somebody to murdering a child clearly says to me that you should not allegorize the horrible bullshit that is the Bible.
If there's no way to predict this, then easiest way I see out of it is just taking churches out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you wouldn't have the shit being taught. Just saying.
Or, okay, liberal Christianity, if any of you are listening, don't preach from stories that crazy people can take literally and do horrible, horrible things. Don't tell stories about Abraham sacrificing his child or being willing to. Don't tell stories of Abraham sending out his concubine and child, because that might drive somebody to abandon his family.
Don't talk about the mass genocides. Don't talk about cutting off of the tips of everybody's penises. Mm-hmm.
Don't talk about the God commanding rape. Fucking leave those stories out of it. Just keep to the happy go lucky, turn the other cheek. Oh, wait, don't tell that one to anybody, any kid that's being bullied, because I know how that works. You end up going through a good 6 years of bullying before you finally realize turn the other cheek doesn't work, and then you start swinging fists. And guess what? You start doing that, and the bullying stops. Why don't you just fucking leave the Bible out of it and give people lessons they can actually use in the modern world.
Teach them how to fish, teach them how to swim, teach them how to protect themselves.
And at the very least, tell them to pay their fucking taxes like the last group we talked about could have heard.
Right, because the whole render unto Caesar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, well, on that note, I think it's time for our interview. And
hell yeah.
Joining us now is Jacqueline Glenn. You can find her online at youtube.com/Jacqueline Glenn. Jacqueline, welcome to Atheist Nomads.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing good.
Awesome. This is fun. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we've actually talked once before. Jacqueline's spot on the Secular FM Streamathon was while we were helping with the hosting of that. And okay, so, cool. Yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Yay.
All right. So who are you?
I am God. I'm like some random person who posts videos on the internet sometimes. I mean, I talk about atheism quite a bit, you know, hence being on the Atheist Nomads. I do religion, politics, social issues, current events, and I'm sarcastic and make jokes that are hilarious every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I
watch your videos and yes, they are funny. at least for me, that
you better say that.
That is high praise coming from Dustin.
It took a few of them to start getting your humor, but because I don't have the best sense of humor, and so that was on me, not you.
Yeah, your humor is kind of lacking.
So. All right, so.
I was going to say, a lot of my friends are like that, too. Like, it took a while for people to get used to me, and they're like, oh, okay, she's actually not horrible. She's just being sarcastic.
Yeah. 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 And with anything on the internet, it's especially bad with any kind of text communication. Sarcasm is really hard to get to come across well to everybody. But even if it's audio or video, it can be really hard to get sarcasm to flow well, for everybody to get it, because, well, fucking Poe's Law.
Over text, it's so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, at least in person or video, you can like hear, you know, someone's the way that their vocal intonations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not so like, you know, you can tell the facial expressions and stuff, but over text, like, okay, are they an asshole or I don't know.
So I've heard enough about your background to know that it's really quite fascinating. So what was it like? Tell us about your growing up.
I mean, my grandma is Italian, so she was born and raised in Rome, so she's very Catholic, and it's more of like a cultural tradition with my mom's side, being Catholic and stuff, and we didn't really live in the best neighborhood when I was a kid, so if I would have gone to public school, the local one to where we were would have been horrible, like just fights and horrible things happened at that place. So my mom put me in a Catholic school, and I want to like preface it with that just because, you know, like she had good intentions, like she was trying to help me out, give me education, etc. So she's not a horrible person for putting me in Catholic school. She actually spent a lot of money that she didn't have to do that, so appreciate it. But the school that I went to, in and of itself, I have issues with just because of different things that they had going on. Like, I remember particularly one time on Easter, they had us, like it was like second grade or something, they had us color in little Jesuses,
nice.
Which is fine. You know, you're coloring a Jesus, that's one thing. That's, you know, not so crazy. Then they cut him out and laminated him. Okay, a little weird, but not terrible. Then they had little wooden crosses that they brought to the school, and they gave us little tacks, and they had us like take a hammer and like tack this like Jesus on to the wooden cross. And like there were kids crying, they're like, I don't want it, because you know it's like you know, it's like, you know, your kids, you have dolls and stuff, like you personify these things, and then you feel bad, you know. And then like some people, like you even they had fake blood for us to add onto where we put the little tack.
It was
messed up. It was really weird, you know. So like that happened, and then like there were other things. Like we had religion class every single day, and then we had church also on top of that on Wednesdays. And then my family took me on top of that on Saturdays to church. So I had like all these things. I was always doing religious things, and that's fine. It just kind of seemed normal to me. But there were a lot of little weird things, like I just mentioned, along the way. And also, I got in trouble in high school, because I, even through high school, I continued to go to Catholic school. So I went to Tampa Catholic. That was awesome.
Yay.
And I almost got kicked out a couple times. So I had this one religion class, and this lady, she was just horrible. She's like just one of those like stuck up middle aged women who was just like angry about life. And and she would always like, you know, be very matter of fact about everything. There was no room for interpretation, of at least any room for different interpretations. And she was just very negative. And I remember one time getting into a fight with her about purgatory. She was saying how like kids who die, if they're not baptized, you know, if they're young enough and pure enough, they get to go to purgatory, and that's at least better than hell, so it's a privilege, right? So we had a little fight about that. I'm like, what if kids have parents who aren't religious, or they're of a different religion, and they get hit by a bus when they're like 7? I don't know what the age cutoff is. She's like, what if they're 7? And she's like, well, unfortunately, they're going to purgatory. I'm like, oh, and you know this. So yeah, I got a lot of trouble there. But that's kind of a little bit of my upbringing. It was very religiously influenced. You know, my mom didn't have, you know, bad intentions for putting me in that school, but I had some bad experiences while there. So
lovely.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate. I went to Adventist schools from third grade all the way on through grad school. And nice. Yeah, when you get religious education, you know, I might have not been nailing Jesus to the cross with thumbtacks, but in middle school, I was making a scale model of the sanctuary.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, very interesting.
So, yeah. All right, so we've got through to, did you actually graduate from Catholic high school?
Yeah.
So you made it all the way through.
I made it all the way through. And then I was actually religious. I mean, I questioned certain things like the purgatory bullshit, but I bought it. You know, I ate the cracker.
Catholic and in the South, too.
Yeah. I mean, Florida is South, but like, I mean, it's not like, you know, like really like twangy or anything. There are some people that are like that, but like some areas in Florida are very redneck. So
that's like weird old people South down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's strange. Like, at least Tampa,
a lot of retirement community, isn't it?
Yeah. At least Tampa's a little bit more liberal, but the rest of Florida, not so much, but yeah.
Did you ever get suspended?
Nope.
No.
No. I pushed a lot of buttons, but I never got suspended. So I was always always paranoid about not getting into college, so I didn't ever push it too far.
Yeah. All right. And so then college, did you go to a secular school or did you continue with Catholic education?
No, I just went to USF. This is public school.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where did the doubts start coming in? Or was this much later down the road?
Yeah. A little bit of both. Like, whenever I was in college, I guess I would say I started doubting aspects of Christianity, but not Christianity itself. You know, like, it was weird for me because I'd been pretty sheltered my whole life. And then I go to public university and my best friend happens to be Muslim. And a good friend from middle school that I had known for years turned out he ended up, you know, coming out gay. And, you know, here I have my two best friends. One is gay and one is of a different religion. My parents were not happy with me. My family was not happy with me about that. And, you know, it just made me think a lot because, you know, I talked to her and I'd have like religious conversations with her. And although I didn't agree with her point of view, like I didn't agree with the sentiment that she would be going to hell just because she was raised to believe in the wrong God, you know, and that part of it bothered me a lot. So I kind of started doubting certain things. And in my mind, for some reason, I was like, oh, it's just because I'm Catholic. You know, it's not because I'm a Christian, it's because I'm Catholic. Oh, that makes sense. Explains everything. So I went through this phase where I was like Protestant. And, the guy I was seeing at the time's parents were very, very religious, like evangelical. They were crazy. They are crazy. And they kind of got in my head a little bit. Like, they scared me with hell pretty good. They, really, really evangelical. Like, you know, only this stereotype of a person is getting into heaven. And like, I kind of bought it. So for a little while there, I was a Bible thumper. But then again, having these friends in college that were different than me kind of made me think differently a little bit and started pushing me away so that I was like, okay, I'm just going to be Protestant. I'm not going to just be evangelical or I'm not going to be Catholic. I'm just going to be Protestant because that's going to fix everything. And it obviously didn't. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you hadn't just done that on your own, I can guarantee you once you finally left Christianity, somebody would have been like, oh, you're just the wrong type of Christian. You should try X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, I've heard that. And I'm just like, you know what? I've been through quite a few different sects of Christianity, and they all suck. So, I don't know.
That's right. Christian sex does suck.
S-E-C.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So, you got into Protestantism, and then what happened from there?
YouTube? The internet? Like, I mean, like, I went through this very animal rights activist aware phase kind of thing. And I started making videos on YouTube. My very first ones I ever made were about being a vegetarian and like, you know, why we shouldn't do certain things with animals. And I was really all about that for a long time. But I started watching other people. I started watching TJ. I started, you know, getting into debates and stuff. And like, I was a big advocate for like LGBT rights. So I would make videos supporting them. And if you go back and you look at some of my first videos, I'll start off by saying, well, as a Christian, I don't understand why other Christians are homophobic, you know, and like I'd make a video about that and like trying to give equal rights, blah, blah, blah. And so a lot of my videos were prefaced was as a Christian, I think this secular thought, you know, and then eventually people were commenting and they're like, dude, you were indoctrinated. So I had to look up that word. And, you know, like I had no idea. Like I had no idea. And this was like three years ago that I started like really questioning things. And then I started watching other atheists on YouTube. And then I started reading Richard Dawkins and all this. It just pretty much over time ended up like this. Like there wasn't a moment where I had like a, oh yeah, light bulb went off. Or, you know, I didn't wake up one morning and was like, you know what, now I'm an atheist. Like it was just like a really slow, painful process. So
you've really kind of embodied the entire I guess, religious evolution of society. Started out Catholic, then moved through the Reformation, and then got to liberal Protestantism, and then just kind of wishy-washy Christian and then atheist.
Yeah, that's me. That was exactly how I did it. So.
Nice. So at what point did you finally, I guess, accept that you're an atheist or publicly come out as atheist?
Well, the first video I made kind of like that was when I was talking about how I'm like, I'm agnostic now. So that was quite a while ago, but that was kind of the first step. And I said agnostic for maybe only a few months. It didn't last very long, but I went through the agnostic phase. But then after that, I was just like, okay, I'm an atheist. I didn't like ever make a video saying, hey, I'm an atheist, but like my videos just kind of like slowly went in that direction. So
did you get any kickback from your viewers at that point?
No.
How large was your viewership at that time though?
I was around 15,000 subscribers, I think.
Damn.
No, that's not a small amount.
No, that's been a while too.
Well, yeah. It was a long time.
But it's
been a big change. But I mean, no, I didn't get any kickback because the things that I was talking about pretty much are things that people now would still agree with. Even though I said I was a Christian, I was still pretty much giving the same thoughts that I would give now on like homosexual rights and stuff. Like I wouldn't change that. It was just before I said as a Christian, yada, yada, yada. Now I'm just like, as an atheist, probably, you know, so.
And so realistically, any Christians really that would have cared wouldn't have been watching in the first place.
Probably not. No.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what is it really like being a YouTuber?
It's weird. Like, I mean, I didn't start off like, I mean, I guess like anybody's technically a YouTuber posts videos, like, but whenever you do it full time, it was weird whenever I officially was like, okay, this is what I'm doing always. I don't know. So it's different. Like it's kind of like you make it what you want it to be. You know, if you want to be more successful, then you have to work your ass off and post a lot of videos and put a lot of work into your videos and share it via the right social media and like label it right and stuff. So, I mean, it takes a lot of time and it's a lot of hard work, but once you figure out how to kind of work the algorithms and stuff on YouTube, it's not difficult to have a video do pretty well, but you have to post a lot of videos to keep people entertained, because if you don't, like if I go a couple of weeks without posting a video, it's kind of amazing how the viewership drops. So you have to kind of stay on it. Yeah.
Wow. You're that finicky, huh?
I mean, it's you have to stay relevant. People forget about you. Yeah.
People that can't figure out how to subscribe.
Or they unsubscribe, or I don't know, or they subscribe and they forget that you post videos, or they lose interest. So when they see the video pop up in their feed, they don't click it. You know, you have to post a lot, or you have to post the right kind, the right title to get people's attention. So it's kind of tricky sometimes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're not that good at marketing ourselves. Yeah. I'll be honest.
It takes time. It takes a long time to get there.
Shit, what are we, like 54 episodes in? This is 54? And
53.
We have like 53, fuck. Yeah. And like well over 200 hours recorded, broadcast.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So.
We still suck at it.
One of the big things you always hear about with YouTube, and I've noticed this with some of our, when we have done the live shows and left it publicly available on YouTube, is the comments. It's really one of the cesspools of the internet. What's that like?
Just getting hate comments and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. I used to. I mean, like, it's funny. Like, honestly, I get kind of excited when I get a good one because I'll screenshot it. And I've been saving them for, like, a hate mail video because those are always fun. But, I mean, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I've just been doing it for so long and I've seen so many that it's pretty funny to me at this point.
Wow.
I mean, like, I get hate comments on videos. I get emails that are hateful, and most of them like are misspelled or have terrible grammar or just, you know, it's comedy. I mean, I have a recent email that I just pulled up. If you want me to read it, I can.
Go for
like,
it.
Like,
if it's fun, yeah.
It's all so funny. I posted it on my Facebook page, but the title is ha 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 ha. And they start off by saying, "Dear you, okay, I have no idea what's your problem in life, and I am guessing by the words you speak in your worthless and pointless videos that you are a retarded person. And just a ... let me guess, 16-year-old teen who had a bad childhood. If you don't believe in God, why do you even give a fuck and making insult videos? About other people, religions, do you like it when people say shit about your belief in religion? Even if you had any. I mean, please finish school, learn something about history, and then take 120 years studying properly Islam, and then give your sad opinion to the internet, because I assume you have no friends. It's funny how it's bothering you so bad, ha 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 ha, you don't have any proof to believe to anyone, so it's what you believe? And thanks for showing me that your kind are people who have nothing to do, just insulting others, cold-hearted and horrible to other. So uneducated, and sadly, you have to get a life." I mean, like, and I found, I don't even know what this last part means. And I found out about you in this, I found out about you in the top stupid slash slot session. Congrats for being the biggest pointless YouTuber in the world. Thank you. So that's
I'm guessing he hasn't studied the Quran for 120 years himself.
I mean, 120 years is a lot to ask for, I kind of thought, but you know, maybe, maybe not. Yeah. So I mean, like, that's the kind of shit I get. I mean, like, it's so common. I mean, whenever I made, especially when I made videos about Islam, like, the comments I got from people were so hateful and horrible. Like, they threatened to kill me and my family. They said that I should be stoned, that I should be raped, that I should be set on fire. Like, I got so many. I mean, like, I'm saving them for a video. I really should have done that a long time ago, but I've been procrastinating, so. I don't care.
Holy crap.
But I mean, honestly, don't get the wrong impression. Like, most of the comments I get are nice and supportive. So, you know, there's just those few people who are, they think that they're going to influence you, I guess. They think that, like, saying you're stupid is going to be like, oh shit, they think I'm stupid. I'm never going to post another video ever. So, yeah, it's all good.
Nice.
Man, has anybody ever crossed that boundary between internet and real life? Weirdos.
One time I kind of had somebody like that. They sent me a picture of my house, the outside of my house, but I didn't live there anymore. So it was, although it was creepy, I didn't live there anymore. So I was like, okay, well, I've since moved to California, so you got the wrong place, but still, what the fuck are you doing looking at my house? So that part was a bit weird and kind of freaky. And I've had a few people, you guys know Venom Fang X?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a thing with him, and he actually contacted someone I knew, and the someone is an ex-friend of mine, and she has some issues with me and decided to give him a bunch of my personal information. She knows my address, my current address, so I'm not sure if she gave that to him. I'm hoping that she wasn't that stupid, but yeah, he's psycho. Like, he, you know, you never know. Like, if there were somebody to lose it and do something stupid, it would be him, in my opinion. So for her to say that and give him information and stuff is pretty creepy, and he mentioned in one of his videos, he's like, I know things about you that your subscribers don't know. And I'm like, well, great. Like, my address? Hope not. So, I don't know. There's that thing. So, yeah, those are the only two crossovers I can think of, at least.
Wow, Venom Fang X. I didn't know he was still a thing. I thought he got DMCA'd himself. And
he's back. Yeah, he's been posting for a while, but, like, not nobody really, you know. I mean, he made a video about me, and I was like, oh, well, look at this, you know, funny video. Like, I think that it's funny when people make hate videos about me, so a lot of times I will post the link on my Facebook page so people can see it, and I'm like, ha, look at this person. And I did that, and, like, most of the times people are just like, ha, idiot. But this time they were like, oh, I know this guy. He's got, like, this extensive history on YouTube, and he had this thing with Thunderfoot, and, like, all this stuff I didn't know, because I feel like in the scheme of things, I'm kind of new to the whole atheist community, and I didn't know of him, I didn't know that he had a thing, and then I looked into it, and I was like, oh, this is actually someone we'll know about, and it's more than just funny, it's, you know, pretty entertaining, in my opinion, so I'll make a video response to him, which I normally don't do to my trolls and hate videos, but I was like, well, so many people know who he is, and he's offended everyone else. I mean, Lacey Green made a video about him, TJ's made videos about him, like, almost every atheist, you know, Peach made it, so, like, everyone has responded to this guy, so I was like, oh, it's my turn, you know, I'll just do it. I didn't think it was a big deal, but then he ended up going kind of crazy and contacting people that I know, so that's a bit weird. Yeah,
that kid has issues. He's probably one of the biggest Christian trolls on YouTube that I know about.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. Like, I mean, I think he actually believes the things that he's saying. I don't think that he's trying to be hateful. I think that he actually has a screw loose and is legitimately very religious and thinks that he's in the right. So for that, you know, I feel a little bit bad for him, and I don't think that he's, like, a bad person, but I certainly don't want to interact with him anymore after that. So.
Yeah, don't blame you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's it, yeah. For my crossovers, at least. Have you guys ever had anything like that?
No, I wish. Shame.
When I was...
We had a couple of crappy emails, so that's about it.
When I was more active blogging, I got one message that was a little disturbing with somebody... It was sounding kind of like he might try to track me down personally, or had, and was even more concerning was he lived in the country that the company I was working for at the time was actually based out of, and looked like he was in the same city, so there was some weird stuff with that one.
Nice. People are creepy.
Yeah, and we've got the traditional Muslim emails.
Those are always fun.
You must read the Quran. I had fun
for
responding.
120 years.
I had fun responding. I have read the Quran, and it's not that good.
Okay, but did you study Islam for 120 years?
No, I have. I cannot say
okay,
I've done
so
that.
Then you can't even talk about Islam then. Don't even try.
Yeah, you have to study Islam for far longer than the average lifespan.
Okay.
I mean, some people in the Bible lived 900-something years, so why can't you? Explain that.
You still got the wandering Jew. Jesus hasn't come back. We're waiting.
Yeah, dude's going on 2,000 years. He may just still be pissed that people nailed him to the cross.
Mm. That would take some time to get over.
Mm-hmm. I think he was offended at my second grade class nailing lots of paper versions of him to the cross. That's why.
Well, you know, he was inconvenienced for our sins.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and don't forget all the passion plays that go on where people are actually reenacting it.
I think I saw part of one of those, and was it like Religulous?
Yeah. Interesting. Have you seen like the people over in the Philippines that actually nail themselves to crosses? They make their own spikes and they're nailed.
Oh, geez, no, wait, that's awesome! Great
for Easter, yeah.
Happy Easter!
Yeah, they leave them up there for something like 12 or 13 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the Y face, and I don't know.
Yeah, I've been in a passion play in my past. I was one of the thieves on the cross, and even with the seat they had for us to be on, the place to stand on, and the things to put your hands in, you know, they weren't nailed through you. It still was really uncomfortable. I couldn't imagine being actually nailed to one for hours. It would have been torture enough just to be on those stupid crosses for a couple hours.
Yeah, and Jesus did all that for you, and you still don't believe in him. How does that make you?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I can drink beer now.
This was water.
So what are you drinking anyways?
It's just red wine. I don't remember what it was.
You've started hitting up the conferences.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How are those going?
It was really fun. I went to the American Atheist one. That was my first ever, so that was interesting. But I was really busy while I was there. I was like going around interviewing people. So that was fun, but kind of stressful because I like wanted to make sure I got a lot of the important speakers and stuff. But it was really cool hanging out with people, and I made a lot of new friends, so that was awesome. And it was just kind of cool to be in that environment. There was actually a protester there for me. There was a guy. He like had like this giant cross that he painted and like wrote a bunch of Jesus things on. And he was like this, almost looked homeless, but he was like standing out there holding this big cross. And he had like this cowboy hat on, and he was like video recording it. So there's probably a video of this somewhere on YouTube. Probably has a channel. But he was like, apparently he was standing outside of the convention, and because I made a promo video for American Atheist, he was there saying, like, I wish that I could see Jacqueline Glenn. She's the reason why I'm here, because I saw her video, and I showed up because I live here, because I want to protest for Jesus. And, yeah, and someone was like, you know, she's here. And then somebody called me, a friend of mine, and she's like, there's a protester out here who wants to see you. I was like, really? So I was, like, out with friends, and then I walked back. We were actually already on our way back. And then I hung out with him, and he was, like, courting me, and it was really interesting. So that was my first conference experience.
Nice.
But,
nice.
Yeah, there's...
Did you get pictures with him?
Yes, I did. A friend of mine was filming it, so I need to post that somewhere. But, yeah, that was interesting. And I'm going to TAM next month, so that should be cool. I'm not going there in any official capacity, though. I'm just kind of going there to hang out, so I don't have any stress. I'll be able to, like, party. So.
Awesome.
Are you guys going?
No.
Fuck no.
No.
Why you say it like that? That's, like, a bad thing to go or something?
No, it's because we're broke.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not far. I'm in L.A., so it's Vegas. I'll just drive.
Yeah. Seattle-ish.
I'm in LA, Boise. Yeah. If I'd had the time off work and money, I would have gone to American Atheist Convention. Salt Lake wasn't very far away.
Well, I'm not buying a ticket to TAM. Like, the tickets are, what are they? They're like, $400, $600? Like, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I tried to contact people who were in charge of that and be like, I'm going to make a promo video, give me a ticket, but no one ever wrote back, so I'm just going there to chill. Honestly, like, when I went to American Atheist Conference, like, they gave me tickets and they totally gave me everything that I needed to get access to. I didn't really have time to go to anything. Like, I was hanging out with people, and, like, I was outside, like, in the hotel lobby, like, socializing. I really didn't even get to see many of the speakers, which kind of sucked. But, I mean, it's going to be the same situation. So I spend a bunch of money on a ticket. If I'm probably not even going to listen to anybody anyways. I don't know. I'm not upset about it. I'm just going to have a good time. Go to there's like a bacon and donut party or something.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah.
It's like a big deal. Donuts sound good.
Yeah. Bacon for
yeah.
me.
Well, yeah, the bacon and donuts is like completely well known. That's, oh, God, that would be awesome.
As long as I don't have bacon donuts, because that sounds kind of gross.
Wait, no. Maple bacon donuts is amazing. Uh-huh. Just trust. You are a veggie, aren't you, though?
Yeah, but still, even if I ate meat, like, that sounds not a good combination to me, so.
Bacon everything is a good combination.
Bacon ice cream?
I'd try it. I'd try it at least once.
I would draw the line of bacon vodka. Wouldn't do it.
In a Bloody Mary, that'd be good.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I've seen people put bacon in Bloody Marys, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got a craving now. There's an awesome Bloody Mary bar like 4 blocks away.
Nice.
Okay. So anyways.
So there's one part of your background that we missed. You were in medical school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for 2 years.
Have you found many opportunities to use the stuff you learned in med school on YouTube?
No, not really. I mean, my bachelor's is in biomedical sciences, and that's kind of cool because I learned a lot about biology and like evolution and genetics, and that's all useful whenever you're talking about origin of species and, you know, evolution and stuff. You know, but as far as like medical stuff, like knowing pathology of disease doesn't really come in handy when you're talking about like philosophy and theology and stuff, though. Yeah. Not really.
Unless you did an anti-vaxxer video.
That's true. I guess I could go there. And, I've always been kind of very critical of homeopathy, so I could use some of, I mean, not like you need any medical training to know that it's silly, but, you know, I could go there. So, yeah, no, not really. It doesn't come in handy. Waste time, waste money.
That could totally open up a whole new range of conferences you could go to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Get on the skeptical ones. You know, Tam is borderline skeptic, atheist, all in.
I heard Tam was more of a skeptic thing.
Yeah, but there's like Nexus up in the Northeast, you know, the novellas and stuff. Could be fun.
Yeah, it's just hard for me. It's hard for me because like, people, I feel like they would be very critical of a lot of different ideas, which I would agree with, but then they'd be religious, so I'd be confused. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, can't you see how everything should be criticized? But not my religion, so I don't know. I probably would be a little weirded out by that, to be honest.
Mm.
All right, you're so skeptical. You know, people will take pride in that, but then they're going to say a prayer at the end of the day, and it's like, okay, well, I don't know. I mean, like, good for you, but I just don't know how well I'd relate.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you know, they'd be talking and you'd probably agree with them, but in the back of your mind, it's like, you know, it would just bug me.
If that even came up.
Probably not, yeah. I don't know.
So, speaking about your Logic t-shirt, how did you you get to know Dusty?
Well, I had this idea about 6 months ago. You know, it's hard to do well on YouTube by yourself, in my opinion. Like, it's hard to be successful in any area if you try to do it all yourself. And sometimes it's important, you know, just like if you're in class and you have a question, it's important to ask. So it's important to ask for help sometimes. And I feel like community strategies are really valuable. So about 6 months ago, I reached out to Mr. Epsilon, I reached out to Amazing Atheist, and I reached out to Dusty. And I was like, also Dark Matter, but I didn't get a response from him.
Oh.
And I was like, so I really like all of your channels. I feel like we could really benefit from, you know, knowing each other, interacting with each other, collaborating with each other. And Repsion, Amazing Atheist, and Dusty all jumped in right away. And I made a group on Facebook where all four of us were joined, and that's just like private for the four of us. And what we would do is we'd post a video every week or every 2 weeks, and like we would agree to like comment on the other person's video and like the other person's video and share it so that, you know, we could kind of cross promote audiences and stuff. And that worked out really well. And that's kind of how I got to know Dusty, because I was just like, hey, I have this business plan, kind of, are you interested? And then we got to know each other, and then he came up with this other business plan of all working together to sell the same t-shirt. So that's why the same people that I just mentioned are selling the same t-shirt, because it's kind of a collaborative effort. So that's kind of how that happened. Yeah.
Badass. So yeah, you pretty much have your own line of clothes now.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's really cool because, I mean, I had just started promoting these shirts. And whenever I went to the American Atheist Conference, I saw a couple people wearing them, and they came up to me and they're like, hey, you got my shirt on. So that was like really exciting. So it's pretty cool how many people are actually going for it.
That is awesome.
And it's great because like it's again, it's like a community thing. So when people buy shirts, like it supports, because like we all have our own URL. So like if you get a shirt from me, like I'll get more commission, or if you get a shirt from TJ, vice versa, you know, but still there's a percentage from all of us that goes into the same like pot kind of thing to help like promote, make more videos kind of thing. So it's like every time somebody buys a shirt, it helps all of us make more videos. Sweet. Kind of thing. So it's nice.
Yeah.
And it probably helps augment the YouTube advertisement revenue.
What do you mean?
Or do you get the YouTube advertisement revenue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it's pretty low. I mean, ads, unless you get sponsored, you know.
Makes sense. Yeah, ad revenue can be really weak.
And a lot of people have ad block, so it doesn't matter. I mean, people, I don't know, you know, they don't realize that how much it hurts, like, people who are making videos. But people have ad block, and since that happened, like, in the last year, even though I've gotten more people following me in the last year, the amount I've made hasn't changed just because adblock popularity keeps going up and it's like ruining things for people. So then you have Patreon accounts and you have merchandise and you have other things to try to take the place of what you would normally be getting, but sometimes it doesn't even out exactly.
So yeah, good reminder to turn off your ad blocker.
Yeah,
if it's something you care about at least.
I mean, it's like a 10-second, sometimes even 5, you can click to skip it. So yeah.
So that's pretty much all they have to do is, watch that little intro video, little commercial.
I mean, what, it like makes a penny or whatever, but it adds up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where can I?
100,000 mm-hmm. views, 100,000 pennies isn't bad.
Not bad.
So what kind of tips would you give to a girl that's coming out that might have been kind of in your situation, raised up in a religious family? Can you?
You mean like coming out as an atheist?
To come out to even come out as a non, and not even an atheist, but just to like have gradual steps. Is there anything that?
Well, I mean, like, are you talking about somebody in particular?
No, just if there's anybody listening to us, I mean.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's hard because like it depends on your situation. I feel like a lot of younger people ask me that question, and it's hard to give like, because obviously like the knee jerk answer would be. Be who you are. Don't hide who you are for anyone. You know, that's, you should be able to do that in an ideal world. But if you're dependent on your parents, or if they're helping you with college, or if you're living under their roof, or whatever the situation may be, it might not be the best idea to do that, because I've heard of people who did that, and then their parents kicked them out, or they took away their college fund, or refused to contribute to their college fund, or, they just had, it just sucks to have that happen. So I would wait until you're, like, financially independent on your own, and not waiting for something from your parents, or, living with them, or something, because that would be really difficult, and kind of pointless. But, I mean, if you're on your own, you're financially independent, there's no reason to hide, who you are to make somebody else happy, because if they don't appreciate you for who you are, then it's not a real connection or a real relationship anyways, in my mind. So, I mean, it's hard, but if you're like, if it's like a really religious family, like I did it the wrong way. I didn't tell anyone and I just made YouTube videos, and that was kind of my outlet because I didn't want to talk to anyone. So I made these videos and eventually they found them, and that's how the whole thing happened for me, which was probably not ideal. But, I would probably just bring it up lightly and like start off by saying agnostic, or maybe you're non-religious, or it just depends on your relationship with your parents. Sometimes people have written me and they're like, I was really scared and I came out to my parents, and they're like, cool, like they didn't care. But some people are like, came out to my parents and now they don't want to even talk to me. So it just kind of depends. Like, you have to kind of gauge it for yourself and be careful with how you word it, I guess.
So you actually outed yourself? Somebody like gave your parents your channel and they found
it? I think, yeah.
Or they were just Googling your name.
Of something, yeah. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it did. So I went like a year and a half without anybody finding me. So I don't know.
Yeah. How are your parents about it now?
It's something that we just don't discuss. I mean, if it is discussed, it will probably lead to an argument or something uncomfortable. So it's just kind of off the table, which sucks. But they know my position. I know their position. So we just kind of have to avoid the topic because there's no convincing them. And as many times as they say that I'm going through a phase and one day I will be back to my religious self again, it doesn't matter. They still think that that's going to happen. And they know that right now there's no convincing me, but they have hope for the future. Right. So I don't know.
Wow.
I'm sure they're not too happy about you leaving medical school, but...
No, but that's.
How do they feel about you making your own way and earning your living?
Are they
at least happy that you're like self-sufficient and?
Yeah. That obviously that's cool that I'm able to support myself. There were a lot of other things going on for me at the time when I left med school and like moved to California. There were other problems I was having, and this was kind of like a spur of the moment thing that I did that I kind of had to do, and like they knew I was like not doing okay and stuff, and that their mentality was kind of like, do what you need to do. They didn't like it, but I think they understand to a degree. So okay. Yeah.
That actually doesn't sound too bad then.
Yeah.
Awkward families are awkward anyways. But.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's family is awkward. Oh, yeah. I don't know anybody who's like, my family's perfect. We have no issues and everything is like never weird.
I believe that's the Mormons. All of their families.
Dum, 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 dum.
I guarantee you that's not true.
They're just oddly happy that
they just turned it off.
Yeah.
You can pretend
everything's okay.
Like a light switch, just go click. It's a sweet little Mormon tree. Yeah, anyways. Book of Mormon. They just turn it off, all the bad shit. Everything is perfect all the time.
Oh, God. My boss is a Mormon bishop. Oh, it's awesome.
I heard bitch at first, and I was like, well, that's interesting. My boss is a Mormon bishop.
This is an adult podcast. You can swear all you fucking want. It's all good.
Hey, don't fucking swear.
Yeah, there you go. That's the spirit. Shit, it's about time for a beer.
I already finished mine.
So yeah, 10 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves.
Who needs a beer when you can drink wine?
Yeah, wine's not bad. I just have the tendency to drink way too much of it.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Yeah, it goes down too smooth. And
that's what she said. Sorry. My mind's always in the gutter, so I'm just kind of mad about that.
All right, so you've got a fan that I'm sure everybody's jealous of. Richard Dawkins.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's one of my fans, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. But it's, like, cool. Like, it's still, like, I still get, like, excited every time I ever see him tweet about me. I'm like, holy shit! Like, what is that? But it's pretty interesting. I got to interview him. There's an interview of me and him on my channel. I actually recently filmed him in Vegas, and I'm working on editing that. It should be up soon. But yeah, I got to hang out with him. I actually got to hang out with Lawrence Krauss, too, for a little while at a party, and that was fun. Like, a totally chill, laid-back guy. It's fun. Really short. But I feel bad because I'm, like, so tall. I'm, like, 5'9 and a half, and, like, he's, like, down. I'm like, hello, Lawrence Krauss. That happened. I got to, yeah, it's, like, I got to meet a lot of people. I, like, saw Bill Nye for, like, 2 seconds. That was cool. Kitty!
Yeah, that's Wally.
Hi, Wally.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Bill Nye a few months ago at the CFI Tacoma. That was awesome. Helped to interview him, too.
Awesome.
Oh, just amazing. That definitely a childhood dream come true.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Right? From Seattle.
Oh, yeah. So he couldn't have missed that one.
No.
He just had to drive down the road a little ways.
No, he's a L.A. guy, too.
Oh, he is now?
So as Tim mentioned, he just moved here.
What?
I got to meet him. Yeah, wow. I met him a couple weeks ago, or like a month ago. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Okay, now he lives here now. Being jealous.
Fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucking Pope.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You need to hook up.
Mention was awesome at the Reason Rally. There was one spot where there were some hiccups because, well, it was raining. And they hadn't really built the stage to be able to handle the rain all that well. So he'd go back up and do another song or two just to pass the time. And he was barefoot, kicking around puddles of water and a little bit worried that he might get electrocuted, but going strong.
You know, I mean, electrocution, not that big of a deal.
Hey, he also got 20,000 people to shout, I love boobs. That was pretty awesome.
I'm offended.
As what?
Kidding.
Oh, boy.
That's misogynistic.
Orange shandy. That's no, what that is tasty.
Oh.
I'm good.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah. Oh, okay.
Hi, Tippy. This is Tippy. Say hello.
Hi, Tippy. Man, if you guys keep that up, I might have to bring in my dog.
You should.
All right.
She's so cute. Her eyes are so green.
They are. Kind of
weird. Must steal them.
Yours are like black as coal, like black as your soul.
Yeah, my little black atheist heart. It's all good, though. Good. Yeah, everybody thinks I dye my hair black or whatever. It's like, nope, my eyes are as dark as my hair. It's just how I am.
So. I can see, no, you got closer. I could see brown a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it's there. Glinting.
Because I have a light right here. In the sun or in the light, like, but like far away, it looks black.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I should color contacts. That's cool.
You're totally goth.
I am not. I am not, Kitty. Oh, gosh. But everybody says that. It's like, but I mean, I'm not, but like, I do gravitate towards darker clothes. Like, whenever I go out and shop, like, I have to make conscious effort. Like, I was out with a couple of friends the other day, and like, I was looking at a shirt. And I was like, should I get the black one or the white one or the turquoise one? And they were like, not black. I was like, okay, sorry.
This is Rocco.
Puppy. Oh, how cute.
He's 5 years old.
That puppy.
He's not, is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought it was a fucking puppy.
Nope.
I mean, I knew it was tiny, but I thought he was a puppy.
The Humane Society estimated him at 5 years old.
Really cute.
Yeah.
Wally's my boy. We go on rides together. I'll, like, bring a little can of food and a little bowl for him, and I'll get Taco Bell or something. We'll just go cruising.
I love Taco Bell. It's, like, the only fast food place I can go and, like, order whatever I want because they substitute beef for beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, their beef isn't real anyways. Doesn't matter.
That's true. Ew.
It's at most, what, 20% beef, I think?
Yeah, that's not even real. That's not even enough count. You could do mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I love Taco Bell, too.
When did you become a veggie, anyways?
Like 4 years ago? Mm. Yeah. It's all good. I don't miss it. I really never ate that much meat to begin with anyway, so it wasn't, like, hard for me. So.
And then what was the reasoning for it?
I watched this documentary, Earthlings, And it was like all about the shit the animals go through. And I have family in Iowa that have a farm that's a cattle farm. And I've seen some things that they do that always kind of freak me out a little bit. And I couldn't personally go out and shoot a cow, so I don't feel like I should, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess it's not for health reasons, because I'm honestly not the most healthy person. I eat a bunch of candy and stuff. But I just feel bad.
So ethical reasons, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have nothing against people who do eat meat. I'm not like fanatical about it. I just personally don't. So
you're not that veggie that's at a party like, oh, I can't eat this, and oh, don't have stuff touching or anything like that.
I really don't care about stuff touching, but like, I won't eat something that has meat in it at a party. Yeah. But I'm not going to be like, why are you eating that? You know, it's just, I won't. So, and it's like not that bad for me, because now that I live in LA, like so many people here are vegetarian. Like everywhere you go, they have vegetarian options. So it's not like difficult at all.
Weird.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like you. I have family in Wyoming that have, you know, big cattle farm and raise a bunch of stuff. And yeah, I just grew up like we'd go out and say, okay, that one, you know, a week later it'd be ready.
Yeah. See, like I'm like weird with animals. Like I get attached. I mean, when I would go out on the farm and stuff, like I'd end up petting some of them. You know, like they come up and they like rub their head on me and I'd scratch them, and like I felt like I was petting like a horse or something. You know, like that's how they acted towards me.
Yeah.
So I felt like you know, I'd name them and stuff. Like I just didn't, you know, I got too attached and like it was weird for me.
I think that might have something to do with my dad. When I was a little baby kid, like 4 or 5 years old, I had a couple French lops that we took care of. And they were mine to take care of and all that, and they were really cute and really pretty and cuddly, and then they were Sunday dinner.
Mm. Yeah. See, I'm like just like that would creep me out. I'd be sad.
Yeah, that kind of broke me of that, I think.
Yeah. Just depends.
Yeah. I lived on a farm until I was 8, and there was one calf I really liked, but never got too terribly attached. And when he headed off to the slaughterhouse, or at least the auction yard, it was just part of life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like a big, like really sensitive about things. Like one time I stepped on a lizard and killed it and I actually cried. So that's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my atheist lack of morals. I hate everything and don't care, but I'll cry over a lizard.
You'll slaughter a million Muslims, but not bad enough. not bad an eye, but yeah, cry over a lizard.
Slaughter them with what words?
Slaughter them with
intellectual slaughterness.
I really hope you don't get more hate mail over. Actually, that would be kind of funny if you got more hate mail over that one, over something I said.
Oh, probably not. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I get hate mail for everything, so.
Yeah. Well, bottoms up, then. Fucking right. Glad I brought two.
All right.
This is tasty.
Jacqueline, do you have any stuff you want to plug?
Well, hey, subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jacqueline, and that's about it. I mean, I have a website. I sell these t-shirts, jacquelineglenn.com. My hair always covers it. You know, people give me shit about it. They're like, when you make videos, your hair covers your shirt, so it looks like it just says G. Make sure you guys go out and check out my G shirts. But, that's jacquelineglenn.com. Follow me on Twitter, like my face page. Yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. All right. Well, unless either of you have anything left?
All right. Favorite movies.
Oh, crap. Anchorman.
Oh, God.
And you know what? I recently watched Zoolander for the first time and thought it was hilarious. Like, my sense of humor is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anchorman. Pretty funny.
Okay.
I love Lamp.
I love Scotch. Scotchy, scotchy, scotch.
I have Lamp right there. And I love Lamp.
Awesome.
What the fuck is that green thing?
Oh, I've got like a rose thingy.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched
like
The Bachelor.
Like a temple and a snake up there.
That's like my guilty pleasure. I watched The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Mm.
So, yeah, hey, I'm still a girl.
My guilty pleasure, Princess Bride.
Yep.
Yeah, because
I like how you're both like, yeah.
Yeah. Greatest movie ever.
Is it like a musical?
No. You need to see that then.
Isn't Princess Bride the one where they like sing the Tight Tights song?
No.
Andre the Giant. It's an amazing.
Haven't seen it.
Oh,
it's got,
holy shit.
It's got adventure. It's got revenge, romance.
Princesses.
It's got everything.
It's got princesses. It's got everything.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check out that.
Seriously.
Later tonight.
Figured. God damn it. I bet you haven't even watched Amelie.
Mm-mm. I don't even know what that is.
Amelie?
French movie. Audrey Tautou.
Well, am I French?
Yeah. No.
Je m'appelle Jacqueline.
I don't care how bad I feel or how good I feel. After I watch that movie, I always feel better.
Okay.
It's an amazing film.
I will check that out.
All right. Fine. Don't you do it. Get down. Thank you.
Don't tell me what to do.
All right, they're always good for entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you, ma'am. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find us online at www.atheistnomads.com. Contact us, contact@atheistnomads.com, or leave us a voicemail message at 541-203-0666. You can also like us on Facebook or leave us a review on iTunes, Zune, or wherever else you find the podcast. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
This part live on YouTube, and we'll be doing that one live as well. And we're doing this on Sunday.
Oh, God. Your audio dropped out again.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Not again.
Son of a bitch.
Still can't hear you.
Good thing we don't have any viewers. Fuck.
Oh, boy. So I got new glasses. They fit really nice. I like them. Rather stylish.
Oh, this is getting annoying. It's not losing the setting, but it's forgetting... I don't know what the hell's going on here, but it's not picking up screwing up the stream. Man, oh, that is annoying.
You should get a Mac.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll be.
Can you hear when it drops out?
Nope. Okay. I may have to just switch to having this pick up the webcam microphone.
Yes, do.
Yeah.
Please.
Son of a bitch.
There you are.
All right, so now I got shitty sound quality, but at least for the...
Kind of. Not anymore.
Fuck it, we don't have any viewers. Let's go ahead and just scrap this and go back to Skype for now. Oh, you can't hear me.
So, some of the great features about a Note 3, really large screen, kind of fits my big head. And the S Pen, terribly handy. I love this thing. Uh-oh, new chat message. We don't have any viewers. Do you want to... Yeah, sure.
All right.
All right, see you on the other side.
Nobody is trying to force people to change their minds.
Can you still hear me?
Yes. I'm just ignoring you. Can you hear me?
Justin?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Testing. You can't hear me? It's being sent to Skype.
Okay, what the fuck? Oh, that's why. Just a second.
Did you mute me?
No, everything's fine. Okay, now say something.
It's being sent to Skype just fine.
Yeah, yeah. I accidentally pulled out my headphone jack. Yeah, oh. Smooth. Okay.
All right. Anyway, as I was ranting on, fuck it. Damn, the spear is screwing up my vocabulary.